Thank you, Miss Christie. Open your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 9. If we knew how much God loved us, and if we understood the price He has paid to redeem us, and if we had any inkling of what He puts up with just to keep us, we'd understand a little bit more about His love. I give you a suggestion. He doesn't love any of us because we're perfect. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. I've often used the phrase here in missions conferences and stewardship conferences and other things, that we should quit waiting on or waiting for perfect faith. Why don't we just use what faith we have? And that's what I want to preach about tonight, using what faith we have. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 1, stand as we begin to read, "And Jesus entered into a ship and passed over and came into His own city." Who knows what city that is? Capernaum. Capernaum was the headquarters, basically, of Jesus when He was in His earthly ministry. "And behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts," it'd be good for us to underline that, "and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith He to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And He arose and departed to His house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God." Now listen to this statement, "which had given such power unto men. What power is he talking about? The disciples didn't heal this guy. The guy didn't heal himself. Jesus is not the men. What's he talking about? Well, I love to think of it in this light. The power of faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. What does Jesus see when he looks at you? Does he see any faith? Or does he see faith that's not being used? Does he see idle faith? Some of you are waiting for God to make you and give you perfect faith before you ever launch out to try to do anything for God. But let me tell you, some of the greatest things that will ever happen in your Christian life will happen because you will determine to use what faith you have instead of sitting there waiting for perfect faith. These men that brought this man to Jesus did not have perfect faith. Had they had perfect faith, they'd have said, be ye healed. But they used what faith they had and they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus saw their faith and gave them more than they asked for. They brought him to Jesus to get him healed. And Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Then take up your bed and go into your own house. I want to talk to you tonight a little while about using what faith you have. That would revolutionize our church. There wouldn't be a need in our church that wasn't met if those of you sitting the pews right now would quit making excuses and just use what faith you have to serve God. Father, help me tonight. I want to be a blessing and a help and an encouragement to our people. And Lord, we're not helping and we're not being a blessing when we're not using what faith we have. When we take the faith that you've given us and use it, whether it be large or small, it makes a difference in your work and in the lives of people. It makes a difference in our life. Help us tonight to see the great tragedy of sitting by, making excuses, thinking we can't do something instead of trying and use what faith we have. Help me, fill me, and use me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I love that statement. Jesus saw their faith. And when he, or Jesus seeing their faith, when God's children uses what faith they have, it moves God to action. When these men brought this palsied man to Christ, Christ saw their faith. It moved him to action. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then he healed him. They did not have great faith. They didn't have mountain-moving faith. But they did have man-moving faith. They could move that palsied man to Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he healed the man and saved the man. They simply used what faith they had and brought to Jesus this man who was healed and saved. And these men were no different than people sitting right here. Except they used what faith they had. They didn't sit and make excuses. They didn't sit and say, I can't. They did not say, I don't have perfect faith. I don't know if I have enough faith. They just got up and used what they had, and it was enough. It was enough. Now, what is faith? Faith is belief in God and His Word that moves us to action. Faith is visible. When we act on what faith we have, we'll get active. It'll move us to action. It's visible. God saw their faith. Now, I don't know how much faith they had. I don't know what amount they had. The Bible doesn't go into it because it's not important. What's important is they had enough faith to say, if we can get this man to Jesus, I believe Jesus would heal him. We had a family, an entire family saved today. Began to ask around, ask how they got here. There's a man that comes to our church about once every 16 months. And every time he comes because he's been working with somebody who wants to get saved, and he brings them here. I saw the man show up and sit right over here. Saw the family come in and sit back there. And that whole family got saved today because a man that don't go to church very much had enough faith to get them to Trinity Baptist Church where he knew they'd hear the gospel. And some of you go to church every Sunday and hadn't used any faith lately. It'd be wonderful if we'd just learn to use what faith we have. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the Scripture says. Faith not only moves Christians to action, it moves God to action in behalf of the one who is exercising faith. He said when he saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, the Christian's faith comes from God through His Word. You don't manufacture faith. You don't hang around and accumulate faith. God gives you faith, and He gives you faith to use, to move, to act upon. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that, the faith, is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the Christian's faith comes from God. And then we can get more faith from God's Word by hearing it preached and taught. That's what Paul said in Romans 10:17. Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I want you to know there's not a shortage of faith in our churches. Every Christian has faith. And every Christian can have more faith. Our problem is we're not willing to use what faith we have. We're not willing to depend upon God where we are and ask God to do something on the basis of what faith we have. The great problem is that we don't use what faith God's already given us. And God will not give us more faith until we use what we have. If He can't trust you with what you've got now, why should He give you more faith? Message very simple. In order to use what faith we have, we must begin to serve God where we are. Now, listen to me. Using what faith you have equals serving God in some capacity. It does not mean sitting. It means serving God where you are. I hear people say, "I'm not growing." Then get off your backside and start serving. We've got Christians today not doing anything for God, and their backside's three axe handles across because all they do is sit. It'd be wonderful if you'd start using what faith you have and watch yourself begin to grow and develop, mature. See, growth requires both nourishment and exercise. Some aren't growing because they never come, so they can't eat. Absenteeism prevents growth regardless of the spiritual meals that have been prepared. Doesn't matter what's preached from this pulpit. If you ain't here, you ain't getting it. You're going to go spiritually undernourished. Others are being nourished, but they're not serving. No spiritual exercise. So they just become fat, lazy Christians because they don't use what faith they have. God has a work that every one of us can do with exactly the amount of faith we have right now if we just use what faith we have. The disciples couldn't heal this palsied man, but they had enough faith to bring him to Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "That's enough. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Take up your bed and walk." Use what faith you have. Andrew couldn't multiply the fish and the loaves to feed 5,000, but he had enough faith to bring the lad and his lunch to Jesus. There are many who can be blessed and helped if we'd just use what faith we have. I've told you this story before. It's one of my favorite stories. When I was an associate pastor over in Hearst years ago, back when cars didn't have computers or air conditioning, I lived two doors down from a lady named Mabel Meeks. Mabel's with the Lord now. The back of her house, she had a little shop and she styled hair. That was back in the days of big hair and the Pentecostal piles and the ratting and all that stuff. Mabel was a sweet Christian. But she would tell you up and down, "I cannot lead a soul to Christ. I just can't do it." But during the 3.5 years I lived there, there's between 30 or 40 people that she had in that beauty chair. And while she was working on them, she was using what faith she had, telling them about Jesus. And in a minute, my phone would ring, and she'd be on the phone just a-bawling, saying, "Brother Smith, I got somebody down here who wants to be saved. Would you come and lead them to the Lord?" Dear God, she had done everything except ask them to bow their head and call on Jesus. Do you think I rebuked that lady? No, she won more souls than most people in this congregation just using what faith she had, and she never asked one of them to bow their head and call on the name of the Lord because she didn't think she could do it. Use what faith you have. I promise you, any number of men and women in this church will be glad to come over to your house and show them how to be saved if you'll get them that far using what faith you have. If you don't have faith enough to be a missionary, then why don't you try teaching a little kids class? Just use what faith you have. If you can't be a teacher, why don't you use a helper? Say, "Lord, I'll use what faith I've got and I'll be a helper." Jamie, are you still teaching that Sunday school class? The one you couldn't do? The one you like to have a nervous breakdown when Brother Todd asked you to consider teaching? The one you told your mother, "I can't do it"? The one you cried over and tried to get out of and finally said, "Well, I'll just do it"? It's great, isn't it? Just using what faith you have. Using what faith you have. So I don't have faith to be a bus captain. Be a driver. You have to drive by sight. Don't even take faith, just good sight. In fact, we'd rather you drive by sight. But use what faith you have. You don't have faith enough to be a soul winner? Won't you use what faith you have and become a silent partner to a soul winner? Every great soul winner started out as a silent partner. You have faith. Why don't you just quit trying to excuse it and start using what you have for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what? You'd be a lot happier. You'd be more content in your Christian life. Church would take on a new meaning. Suddenly you'd begin to smile some if you just start using what faith you have. The Christian life is exciting, but you're going to have to do something more than being a knot on a wall and getting wider because you never use what faith you have. Eat the Word of God and exercise. You might become a spiritual atlas, but not until you start where you are and use what faith you have. See, in order to get saved, we had to use what faith we had. So we know how to do it. We know how. This is exactly what Cornelius did. He didn't know how to be saved, but he used what faith he had, and he prayed, and he fasted, and he gave alms, and God honored him by telling him where to go to get a man that could tell him how to get saved. Just use what faith you have. He used what faith he had to receive Christ, and God saved him. When you called on the Lord, you didn't have perfect faith. In fact, you didn't even know if you had the right amount of faith to get saved. All you knew is you knew that you was lost and needed to get saved, so you asked. You used what faith you had and asked, and guess what? It was enough. Because enough faith to get saved is enough faith that'll cause you to call on Him. Move you to call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. I'm amazed. Well, preacher, I don't know if I had enough faith. Bible doesn't say you got to have 10 pounds or 10 tons. It says you got to have enough to call on the Lord. Ask Him. Ask Him. So we've all done that if we're saved, so we know how to do it. Why'd we quit? Why are we doing nothing today? Why are we making excuses instead of using what faith we have? Cornelius didn't wait for a greater measure of faith. When he found out how to get saved, he just got saved. I didn't wait for a greater measure of faith. When I realized I was lost and the preacher said, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, I just did it. And guess what? God saved me. And my salvation's been as real as yours, and as forever as yours, and as lasting as yours, and durable as yours. Because we simply use what faith we have. Thirdly, Christian does not need perfect faith for God to use him greatly. I was thinking as I was getting ready for tonight's message, some of the most unbelievable things that ever happened in my ministry happened early in my ministry when biblically I was dumber than a rock. But I believed God. I thought Simon the leper was Simon the leaper. I thought he was happy because he got saved. I didn't realize till later he was sick. But I believe God. And oh my, some of the things that God did in those early days, not because I had perfect faith, or because I was a big, strong, mature Christian, but I knew God had called me, and I was willing to use what faith I had. And my, some of the things that God did still boggles my mind. We don't need perfect faith for God to use us greatly. In fact, some of the greater things that you'll experience in your life is when you just use what faith you have and step on out for God, not knowing what the outcome's going to be, except this is God's will. Using what faith you have. And God always comes through. He always comes through. Over in the book of Luke, chapter 5. In fact, just turn there. I apologize for using some scripture that you're going to have to turn to. In Luke chapter 5, I'm going to begin to read in verse number 4. The Bible says, when Jesus had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering, saying unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing or taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. There's a big difference between letting down your nets and letting down a net. I kind of think that Simon Peter's faith wasn't perfect. Simon Peter said, I'm the fisherman. I've been at it all night. Hadn't caught a thing, but just to appease you, I'll let down a net. He used what faith he had. He let down a net. And he caught so many fish, it filled two boats. Two boats. And they began to sink. They were so full of fish. What would they have done if they had waited for perfect faith? But they saw the blessings of God because they used what faith they have. God's not waiting for us to use perfect faith. He's waiting for us just to take what faith we have and step out and trust God. God will do more with your imperfect faith if you'd use it than you can handle. Over in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus has put his disciples into a boat and sent them on the other side, and they got caught in a storm. Jesus came walking on the water. Remember the story? Peter said, Lord, if you'll beckon me, I'll walk on the water to you. And man, when anybody says something like that to Jesus, he said, come on. Now, Peter didn't have perfect faith, because he began to sink. But he had enough faith to get out of the boat and walk on the water toward Jesus. I don't know how far he walked. I don't know if it's 5 steps or 2 steps or it's 10 yards. I don't know, but he didn't have perfect faith because it began to waver when he saw the waves and it began to sink. And Jesus just reached out and caught him, brought him to safety. You'll never drown when you use what faith you have for Jesus. Just use what faith you have and obey Him. You say, I don't know if I can do that. If He asks you to, you can. Just use what faith you have. Trust Him. Quit making excuses. People are dying and going to hell. The world's going further left and bankrupt. The perverts and infidels and infra-hells are taking over the world. And we're sitting here with enough faith to make a difference, and we won't use what faith we have. Let me give you one more and I'll be through. Are you excited about me being through? We all know Paul is the greatest Christian in the New Testament. Can I tell you something? When God called Paul and sent him out, he didn't have perfect faith. In fact, he had some problems making up his mind. In Acts 13, God called him and he was sent into the Gentile world with the gospel. And I say again, he did not have perfect faith. I'll prove it to you. In Acts chapter 16, second missionary journey. Let's begin to read in verse number 6. And now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, they were come to Mysia and they swayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passed by Mysia and came to Troas. Now, the point I'm saying, had Paul had perfect faith and understanding, he would have known exactly where God wanted him. But he didn't. He tried to go this way, and God said, uh-uh. And he tried to go this way, and God said, uh-uh. He had to try three times before he got it right. All he did know is that God had called him, and God had sent him, and he was in the going business. Finally, the Holy Spirit of God gave him a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come over and help me. And he had a clear understanding then that it was there God wanted him to go. And immediately they turned around and followed the direction of God. You think that'll ever happen if he's sat there at Antioch waiting for perfect faith? No. While he was just using what faith he had, he turned half the world upside down. Now what are you doing? Are you making excuses why you shouldn't serve God or you couldn't serve God? Don't you think it'd be far better for you to say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do, but here I am. Not my will, thine be done. Show me a place that you need work, you need help. I'm willing. Just use what faith you have. You say, but what if that's not where God eventually wants me? You're never going to get to where God eventually wants you if you don't start using what faith you have now and serve where He can use you now. Dear God, when God called me to preach 45 years ago, I wasn't ready to pastor Trinity Baptist Church. But I used what faith I had, and God put me in a little old church that had 38 people wanting to start a church. And it was in a rented building on James Avenue in Fort Worth, Texas, and it was propped up on its leaning side. Using what faith I had, God began to train me and teach me. I didn't even know how to preach. I didn't even know what a concordance was. Didn't even have one. I didn't even own a suit. I had to go buy one from Sears Roebuck for $35. That's all I had. I wore it every service, every Sunday, every Wednesday. Its seat was so slick by the time I got through with it and so thin. I had to do something else. But you know, because I was willing to use what faith I had, God just kept promoting me and and growing me and blessing me. And He will you too. Paul didn't have anything special. He didn't have a special hold on God. He's just willing to use what faith he had. I don't have any special hold on God, but I'm willing to use what faith I have. Why don't you? Why don't you and watch God do something you'll never get over in your life? I'm telling you, He'll change your life from a nobody to somebody with some place to go and something to say. He'll give you a life worth living and a future worth looking forward to. He'll give you peace of mind and heart so you can go to bed at night and sleep instead of toss and turn. But it's got to start with you saying, Lord, here am I. From this day forth, I'm going to use what faith I have. I'm going to start where I am and start serving Jesus. That's my exercise. And I'm going to start from this day forth and be faithful in Sunday school and church so I can get the nourishment I need. And I can exercise my faith and God will give me more faith and grow me and use me beyond anything I've ever dreamed or thought or asked. That's what He wants to do with you. But not until you're willing to say, Lord, here am I. I've got some faith. I'm willing to start where I am and let you grow me as I use what faith I have. And then God will have written in His book one day, and when He saw their faith, Has God ever said that about you? Is it written anywhere in heaven about you that God looked down at you and saw your faith and did something miraculous, spectacular, that would cause men to marvel at the power God would entrust to us? The power of faith. But faith is a stick of dynamite without a fuse until you light that fuse by using what faith you have. You've got what it takes. Some of you just not willing to use what you have for Jesus. And the result is you'll suffer and your family will suffer and society will suffer. Our nation will suffer. And some soul will suffer. Because you didn't use what faith you have. Father, simple thought. Help us to do it. Help us to learn that truth and put it into practice. Help us to learn to trust you and obey you. To use what faith we have. We ask it, God, tonight. I marvel that we have such needs in classes and bus ministry and various places and got people that could do the job, but they won't use what faith they have. They just make excuses. Speak to our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord, to realize that we're not going to grow. We're not going to mature if we don't use what faith we have.